I have a proposed idea here for those of you who want us to comply with the FPC law. I cannot take out a loan in the name of KPFK. Only the PNB can authorize that. I would very much like this body to propose that the PNB authorize an $80,000 uncollateralized loan, if we can find one, okay, for KPFK to pay off those premiums. If we can do that, it'll take about 540 listeners coming back to us to pay that off. That's not a lot. Okay, and we can pay that off relatively quickly. Once we do that, we will have to bring in a couple of people to help push those premiums out, because that's going to be an intense, once we get the money, we've only got effectively two FTEs in the membership department right now. They can't handle that. We'll get some help in, we'll get those out, and we'll be back on track with our premiums. I would really encourage this body to go to the PNB with that motion and ask us for this help. I think it can be, I 541 people who said they won't pledge until they get their thank you gift back. That's not much, and that pays off the $80,000 fairly quickly. Again, if you want us to be in compliance with the FTC mail order rule, and I'm not sure that it applies, but if that's the standard here, this is a way to do it that I think is viable, and will get us caught up as quickly as we can get that loan and get those shipments into the stations. A few things on your motions coming up. Just things you might want to notice. You are requiring that a business manager be hired in 3 weeks. EEO recommends that we have at least a 4-week search. So if you're saying that we have to conclude that search in 2 weeks and start making decisions in the following week, we will be out of compliance with EEO rulings. I just want to toss that out for you. The position you're requesting is a full-time business manager. We have concurrence from the national office and the executive director that be a part-time position, either 60 or 80%. We have written out the office manager component in order to do that, and we're automating payroll so that that'll take some of the burden off the business manager as well. I think we can do that for less than 100%. The budget calls for it to be an 80% position. Going further than that, we'll bust the budget a little bit, and you should be aware of that. You're requiring that the program director verify sound exchange. That is not his responsibility. It is the responsibility of the operations director, and we don't have one of those. So it falls to me to verify sound exchange. I don't have the permissions necessary from the national office to do that yet, but if you pass that motion, I will undertake to get those. What is a splash page? You want the business manager position posted on a splash page. I don't know what that is. Do you mean a pop-up or a banner?
The first page that comes up when you go to the website.
The homepage. Okay, we can do that. That's no problem. We'll put the chief engineer position on there, too. We have two positions opening up, so we will be advertising those together. And we'll get that taken care of. I have no control over Pacifica.org and where they place their jobs. So the notion that requires Pacifica.org to do something, I will refer to the folks who do, but that's not me. One last thing. On the minutes that you have, somebody has taken liberty of paraphrasing me. I don't know who's responsible for that, but I would like to say that it's not entirely accurate, and I made a point last time of thanking as many people as I pointed out, and those thanks are not there. I would prefer that my report, my written report, stand as my report. My full statements are available online in posted videos all over the place, and they're available there. I would prefer, since I cannot amend the minutes in any way, and that's, I don't have that capability, that I not be paraphrased in the minutes. And that's just personal preference and a request to you all. to respect the fact that I can't change anything that you choose to attribute to me in the minutes. Are there any questions? Sharon?
Thank you. Mike?
We're doing questions.
Questions? I guess we'll do Myla, Michael, Ken, Charles. Sorry to see you back there. And Mansoor, I don't know what order. Okay. Oh, I didn't see your hand. Reza, Fred. Hope you guys got that order. Okay.
Okay, Leslie, I have a question. The chief financial officer, Sam Garwal, has publicly stated at numerous meetings of the Pacifica National Board and meetings of the Pacifica National Board that he approved a full-time business manager for KPFK. He also, he's reported it many times, and I recently had a conversation with him as chair of the National Audit Committee in which he reiterated that. Has he changed that position in the last few days?
This is a point of confusion. He has inquired of me if it's a full-time position, and I said no, and he said that was acceptable. There's only one station in the network that has a full-time business manager right now, and that's KPFA. They're in much better financial position than we are. I will go back and confirm with Sam that, we are making this a part-time position, but that is what the budget calls for.
And I have a follow-up question, and that is you said that according to the EEOC, you had to have the position open for a minimum of 4 weeks. But isn't it true that you were instructed or the position opening was approved back on January 6th of 2016? So
10 seconds.
Why has it taken so long?
The position was not approved on January 6th. The ED removed the office manager position, and we had some back and forth about which of the specific job requirements would be pulled in order to reduce the office manager position from that posting. We now have come together on a new posting, and it'll be up on the Pacifica website and the KPFK website tomorrow morning.
Who's that? Michael?
Yeah, I was wondering in relation to the Quiet Drive, is there some plan to get more participation by all the programmers in doing a brief pitch during their own show in their own voice? That was the original plan of the Quiet Drive, just to have the programmers do it, and I think it's been inconsistent at best.
It has been inconsistent, and it's very difficult to both monitor every show and force unpaid staff in particular to do anything. But they came on board very enthusiastically. I think that's faded a bit as the drive has not gone well. But we can hype that back up again. There was wide participation when we started in mid-March, and that's fading a bit. But there are signs in master control and in all the edit rooms reminding people to do that.
Dorothy? Do we have an email list of our members? I mean, is there any way that we could send out alerts to people when there are events coming up, and alerts asking for money with a link to the donate button?
We do that through Constant Contact. We have about 40,000 people on our Constant Contact.
I never get anything. I don't either.
Our Constant Contact list needs to be updated, and we're aware of that.
So can you maybe get some college students in and give them some credits for coming in?
Unfortunately, no. I can't give them access to contact information for members. That has to be done by paid staff.
So when can I expect to get on the list?
About the same time I do, Dorothy, and I'm hoping that's in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Ken?
Let me just do two questions. You're talking about 70 days of fund drive days over the next 6 months? 70
Unfortunately,
days?
Yes.
So that's nearly 50% of the time?
Yes.
Okay. That's the condition we're in. All right. Then the other question was, of course, I have a lot of questions. The LSB passed three motions that required response from the general manager about replacing Sonali and replacing Something's Happening and replacing the webmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get a report on that. because that's what the motions requested.
I will provide a written report next time. The motions were passed, I believe, at the last LSB meeting. This is the first I've seen the final versions of them. So as soon as I review the final versions, I will write to the LSB with my responses.
Okay. And has there been an occurrence of any cost for staff or labor other than the engineer? Has anybody been hired or supplemented or paid for working at the station? Any new hires?
Besides the engineer.
In any form of compensation?
In the past month?
In the past 2 months, yeah.
In the past 2 months, we do have some labor for the phone room over the late night shift that we've brought in because Terry's guy can't stay there 24/7. That's a very low paying job, unfortunately.
Is that like fun drive time, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in the phone room during fun drive.
Tell your time.
We have replaced some non-union board ops with other non-union board ops, but we still have the same total number of non-union board ops as we did before. I'm trying to think. And if you're speaking contractors, we had a private investigator come in who I believe counts as a contractor.
But
we contract businesses from time to time.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, has the School of Broadcasting increased our overhead, our expenses?
No. I think perhaps our video instructor, who is also a board op, is using some of his board op hours there, but that's the extent of it. Mark Maxwell teaches in the school, but he has taught that class for years, so that's not an additional expense.
Okay.
Lisa?
Yes, thanks. Thank you for yesterday's
event.
Event, the chair was there for 6-7 hours. All those artists, speakers, musicians coming from San Diego yesterday was great. Great. We should extend this kind of activity in different areas of the town. You know, it was unbelievable that some of the, you know, a speaker coming from San Diego, musician, stay there until 9 o'clock, performing beautiful, you know, event. We should do it in different parts of the city, and everybody has to be part of it. Thank you for the chair that she was there and helped the whole thing.
Have that monthly.
I also want to thank Fernando Velasquez. He and the Spanish language community have hooked us up for an event in the Oaxacan community toward the end of May, and I thank you for that. We will be getting out of the car.
Thank you. Fred, you're up.
Yes. Thank you. I wanted to ask you about the financials that we finally got on April 6th, since you didn't come to the Finance Committee last Wednesday. I noticed that the operational costs, the total operational costs for the station in February are $195,000, which is actually lower than the operational costs for October, November, and December of last year. And the staff has gone, my understanding is staff salaries have gone from their 50% value back in December to 80% now, which means the payroll has increased. So I wondered how you accomplished that, getting operational costs down below what it was when the staff was at 50% salary, when they're now up at 80%.
If you look at the income statement that's called Income Statement Revised, during that initial October, November, December section, we paid off a lot of accrued expenses from the previous fiscal year. I'm busy moving those back into the previous fiscal year. I'm having to provide the documentation to the national office, scanning all of the invoices to do that. But you will see that the operational costs actually because we got caught up on our operating expenses in October, November, and December, we are now current on our payments. You should see some stability from month to month in our operational costs once we get those costs from FY15 accrued properly. Expenses in the state in Pacific are accrued. Income is not. It's kind of a weird system, but we have to credit those back to the months where they were, where the expenses were incurred.
Well,
can we get Fred more time?
The revised income statement reflects my efforts in that direction. There are still a few more changes to be made before I submit that final version.
In any case, that doesn't seem to, following up, that doesn't seem to make sense to me that what income has to do with expenses, why expenses have actually gone down when supposedly payroll has gone up.
Absolutely, and it has nothing to do with income. I'm just suggesting that expenses are accrued. In, for instance, October and November, we made payments to vendors for expenses that were accrued in February, March, July, October of the previous fiscal year. We were able to pay them off because the staff took, the reduced pay. Those, according to the national office, according to the form the national office sent in, were October expenses. They asked me to make the corrections and show that those were from prior months. I am working on that project.
So they've been moved from one period to another, and that's why
thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's we're out of time. Do we
want to extend the time?
Is there a motion? Do I hear a motion?
Steve?
I'll make a motion to extend the time on the subject.
How much? By?
5 minutes. Is 5 enough? 10?
Second.
And 5.
Any objections? Okay. Who was up?
I'm on. Okay. I've written out the motion that you suggested because I think it is vital that we mail out. I think it is vital that we mail out those premiums as quickly as possible. I'll read it. I think at the request of the KPFK general manager, the KPFK LSB asks for PNB approval for an unsecured loan of $80,000 or less for KPFK to purchase and deliver backlog premiums. If all efforts are made by the GM to reduce the cost of those premiums, it's my belief that's the motion, the wording of the motion. It's my belief that if you go to the vendors, you can probably get those premiums discounted if you explain the situation, especially if they're being used over and over again by KPFK. So is that the gist of what you are requesting?
That's the gist of what I'm requesting. I can tell you that we have gone to the vendors, asked for discounts, and mostly they've cut us off. We're not getting premiums from them anymore. The person who collects our premiums is having a hell of a time, and I'm having to send her a list of who she can't order from at this point. But those efforts have been made. We will continue those efforts, no doubt. That is the gist of the motion. And supplementary to the motion, I would like to ask the fundraising committee to assist in helping me find this loan. I think it's out there for us somewhere. I'm not sure where at this point. And I would like all of the LSB, but particularly the fundraising committee, to help us with this. You have contacts in the community that I don't have, and we might be able to make this happen.
Charles, Mr. Kent. Let's start here. Jamie,
yeah.
Charles, Mansour, Ken.
I just wanted to respond to your objection to being paraphrased. I do try to take type, and I cannot type verbatim what everyone says. I do the director's report, and you're kind of in there with the finance manager and the PNB directors, and I paraphrase what you guys say. I think it's important to reflect what was said at this meeting. It might not be exactly the same as what you have written down on a report someplace. So communication is very important. I sent out those minutes, I believe, a week after we had the meeting to everyone, including you. If you find something that I wrote down incorrectly, please just send me an email. I'm pretty good about responding to emails. A couple of other people have brought to my attention items on minutes that they felt I didn't get correct, and I revised those before issuing the revised minutes just before this meeting.
Thank you very much. Again, I don't have I don't have the authority to do that as a board member, but I appreciate that on a personal level.
Yeah, just email me.
Will do.
Well,
are we on time?
Can I give a point of order? There are three of us want to ask questions. Why don't we just ask the question and then she can...
Point of order. There's a motion on the floor that I just put forward.
Yeah.
So is there anyone second?
Second. I have a discussion on the motion.
You have a discussion.
Just a question on the motion. First, can we agree to have at least 4 minutes to discuss, to interrupt on this motion before we get back to the other questions? My question is just who, I'd like to know as a point of information, if the loan is acquired, who has authority to approve the loan so it's not 20 points and 20%? I mean, who is the financial head, the czar of finances, who approves the loan? Is it local, or is it PNB, or is it the LSB?
I think any final loan would have to be approved by both the CFO and the CEO.
Okay.
I can't. I don't have that authority, if that's your concern.
Okay, but the responsibility sits with the CFO and the CEO.
Who's the CEO?
Who is the CEO?
EED.
EED at
this
time. Okay.
Yes. And I would assume that if we cooperate with the fundraising committee and it comes with a recommendation from the fundraising committee, that it will go through.
Any other discussion on this motion?
Are we going to leave the part in about the discounts, since the concern of Leslie's that we're getting cut off from vendors who don't like being called about discounts?
No,
she didn't object.
I don't object.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's been done. Believe me, it's been done.
Well, maybe taking the words out, 80,000 or less, might be a good idea to get rid of or less, because I don't think you can get by with less than 80,000 as I believe.
Yeah, if they're discounted, yes.
No, they're not going to be discounted.
Charles Michael Kim. Charles Mansour and Michael Kinn.
I was on the stack for not this question. If we're talking to the motion, I would just like to call the motion. I think we can. I think there's consensus on this issue. If we move forward with a vote,
yes.
Fred, we're not
I second calling the motion
from anybody other than the devotee.
Jamie has the motion.
Jamie
reads the motion once he.
So
I'll read it because it's in my hand.
I can get it.
No, we want it to be Mike. Please.
At the request of the KPFK General Manager, the KPFK Local Station Board asked for the Pacific National Board approval for an unsecured loan of $80,000 or less for KPFK to purchase and deliver backlog premiums.
Not unsecured,
not
a collateral.
Okay. For KPFK to purchase and deliver backlog premiums, as long as all efforts are made by the general manager to reduce the cost of those premiums.
Can I make one suggestion here? It sounds like we're asking the PNB for a loan. We're asking for authorization for a loan from whomever.
Uncollateralized, uninsured.
Unsecured loan.
PNB approval.
Right.
Yeah.
For an unsecured loan.
What about authorization?
That is
important. It's the authorization.
Yeah, we need the authorization of the PNB to do this. I think maybe that's the word.
It.
So I can see it. So this body and I can seek such a loan.
Okay, let him work on the wording for a second. Do you have it?
Okay, so I changed it at the request. The KPFK asks for PNB authorization for an unsecured loan.
To obtain an unsecured loan.
Okay, to obtain an unsecured loan of $80,000 or less for KPFK to purchase and deliver backlog premiums, as long as all efforts are made by the KKK GM to reduce the cost of those premiums.
That's it, so we can vote.
I'm sorry, I wanted to offer an amendment or suggestion. I think
no, point of order, point of order. The question was called, which means no further discussion or amendments.
There was no vote upon the question. Let me just make my point, please. My suggestion is that it should say an unsecured loan or loans of up to $80,000.
Yeah, better on that. Someone had suggested
that. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay.
So,
can
we
hear
Leslie?
Yeah, are we? Am I on the stack, or could I be put on the stack for a question?
Another question.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a question that relates to.
Oh, great.
Okay, thanks very much. I'd like to go open a discussion about fundraising. $80,000 is a lot of money, and it's not going to come from unless we have a list of prospects, actual people or companies or organizations or anybody that you think that's going to happen. PNB will just put it back to us and say, do you have prospects for such a loan? And what are we going to say? How are we going to respond?
We're going to say yes.
Okay, well then
we're going to come up with a damn loan and put this thing in our past and restore health to our whole premium thing, which is the real thing that will make us survive.
As a member of the fundraising committee, you can make that statement. Okay, yes. Charles, okay. Mentor.
I have no questions regarding the resolution.
About any more discussion on the motion? Thank you.
Can we move on the motion?
I think yes.
Should I read it back?
Yes. Last time, let's read it back, make sure we have it.
I want to make sure I have it correctly.
Can't give him the microphone.
Thank you. Okay. Now, this is what I got. Correct me if I got it wrong. At the request of the KPFK General Manager, the KPFK Local Station Board asks for PNB authorization to obtain an unsecured loan of up to $80,000 for KPFK to purchase and deliver backlog premiums as long as all efforts are made by the KPFK General Manager to reduce the cost of those premiums.
I move that we pass the resolution.
The last part is not true.
Any objections? All right. Motion carries. Do we have time on questions for the GM?
We're already 30 minutes into this.
Yeah,
I think we've overextended our time.
3 minutes. I move to extend for 3 minutes for two people on the staff.
Point of order. Maybe we ask the question and then have the Leslie answer all of them together.
We have three people on the stand.
Okay, I suggest that we add 3 minutes to this agenda item.
Second. 4 minutes each.
4 minutes. Second. Any objections? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Leslie.
Hang on, I'm getting the pen here if I'm
going to
answer all three at once.
Well, this is going to be pretty simple. You won't need a pen for this problem. Okay. I noticed that I really want to thank you for the social media aspect of your report. It's very detailed, comprehensive. I noticed that the Quiet Drive and the various events that we've done, which, you know, are good in terms of outreach, but in terms of financial remuneration to the station are really small potatoes compared to the nut that we have to make each month. And, and I don't in any way
10 seconds.
Put this on you in terms of your management. I think we need to take a look at how to make the
the website more comprehensive in terms of offering more different possibilities for premiums for people who go into there from the Quiet Drive, so that when they pitch, there's something that encourages them. And that the aspect of doing that is going to come from our archives and you know, basically the programming, which is our product to the community that they want to support.
Okay.
Was there a response, please, or you?
No, no. We're going to take three questions.
Right
in a row.
What are two questions? Yes, sir.
You want to do this one?
Mansoor?
All right. So.
1 minute, Mansoor, please.
I hear you. Thank you.
All right.
Use the mic.
Thank you. Anybody else wants to make a comment before I say anything?
Yeah, all 50 seconds.
So one of the problems that and complaints that we have had against general managers in the past has always been that we do fundraise on the air and nothing else. So I want to know, number one, are we doing any grant writings? I mean, these are like grant writings. Do we have anybody to do those? Number two, the events that we're putting together really not bringing a lot of money, and we don't have that many events. It's like, you know, Amy Goodman brought what, like 3,000 compared to like there were 400 or 500 people over there. And I'm not blaming those events. I'm just saying there has to be some methods outside of what we do on the air. And another point is the parking lot sales that we had, it brought in $277, pathetic compared to the previous parking lot sales that we had, 10,000, 15,000, 4,000, all this. So what's happening?
Okay.
Next.
Thank you. I think it was Ken, but why don't you go ahead and address them until Ken gets back. Okay.
First of all, on the Quiet Drive and premiums, this was originally set up as a no-premiums drive. We can load up the catalog if you want with PRA stuff, but we do pay for those. They're not free to us.
No.
They're cheap. They're not free.
We need to restructure that.
That's fun. We can look at restructuring that with premiums.
Yeah.
I really ultimately, and I don't mind using PRA for premiums, but I do want to wean our listeners off premiums unrelated to the station and what we do and our mission. So,
you know,
PRA works for me, but let's be careful going down that path with the Quiet Drive.
Yes.
Okay. Regarding grant writing, we still have a problem because we don't have audits in writing grants. If you look up KPFK or Pacifica on any charity site, you will find that they hate us. We get 0 stars. Until we can get those audits in place, grant writing is problematic at best. We have gotten one or two this year, but searching for grants that don't require audits, a little tricky out there if you've ever done any grant writing, and I have.
What you do off the air.
And
that's
off the air. Right. Well, you asked about grant writing. Let me get around to this. You're right. The events are not raising a lot of money. If you look at our listenership, which was in my report last month, we don't have the kind of listeners we did last time either. It's stunning to me that we could not fill an Amy Goodman event, for instance. The house was about 2/3 full. Normally that you know, in years past, we have filled that space plus the balcony.
That's correct.
And, you know, the reality is that we have to slowly rebuild. And a lot of these events are around that kind of outreach and rebuilding and positioning KPFK, not back where it was, but back where it needs to be. And I can't read my own right. Oh, the parking lot sale. The reason that did not bring in thousands and thousands of dollars is because we don't have any excess premiums to speak of. Mm-hmm. I mean, in times past, we've had all kinds of excess premiums. We have shipped those mostly out. Obviously, we don't have a stock room of premiums right now. A lot of people we have asked, and they have accepted substitute premiums for the premiums they requested. We've been doing a lot of grab bags on the air, which are, you know, just so-and-so's favorite items, take your pick. We've pretty well emptied the stock room when it comes to premiums.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you, Leslie, for that extensive report. I'll be meeting with Leslie every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We have a standing meeting, so if there's any issues that you would like for me to bring to attention, I do have her ear. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., so just sit in my way, and I can relay
the benefits. The purpose of that meeting?
Just so that we can stay on point in regards to any information that has been requested from her, and to also kick around some ideas in regards to with Dorothy's fundraising still, and we have a lot of support outside in the community, so I'll just be meeting with
are
her.
Are you representing yourself, or are you representing the board?
She is a chair.
Well, I am chair.
Representation at all.
Okay. Anyhow, let's move the agenda. So we're at TMB report?
Correct.
TMB report. So first of the queue is Aaron?
Right there.
Right there. Okay.
All right, I don't have too much to report. There, as Jan mentioned, there is a restraining order that was a ruling made by a judge in New York saying that there should be no local station board meetings in New York and no Pacifica National Board meetings until the restraining order is taken up by a judge a week from Monday. So, in a sense, the National Board is not in compliance and is in contempt of court at this point. I have continually raised objections to the composition of the Pacifica National Board. The Pacifica National Board has chosen to not allow proper seating of directors from WBAI, and there are many other irregularities, which I have protested along with Jan and Jonathan and Bill Crozier from KPFT. Outside of that, I'd like to, and in regard to that, mention a few things. I know there were some questions earlier about the two lawsuits, there's one in New York and one in California, about these irregularities. And I am very conversant with those lawsuits. So is Myla Reason. So is Jan Goodman. I believe Ken is probably somewhat familiar with them. So after this meeting, if you have questions, I would be willing to explain all the intricacies of them to you. And my point of view, of course. Also, there are several motions, a couple of motions at least, regarding this situation. One is a resolution that was discussed at the last meeting but never finally voted on. So it's sort of old business, but it should come up. It's appropriate at this point on the agenda. And that resolution by KPFK LSB condemning exclusion of WBAI directors. I think you have it in front of you. So that's one motion. Then there's another motion, if I can, oh yes, resolution to resolve the matter of Yakey and Houtman versus Pacifica without litigation. We would really very much like these egregious bylaws and California Corporation Code violations to be resolved amicably with mediation instead of through legal channels. There's been no effort by the National Board to respond to any of these, to me or to Bill Crozier or to Jan Goodman or to Jonathan, although we have complained in writing and verbally at National Board meetings. So so there are these two motions, and I would ask the chair if we can bring them up now.
I think we've already...
No, we didn't take up any of them.
No.
Did we put them on the agenda somewhere else?
I believe.
Old
yeah.
business?
Yeah, it was old business.
Did yeah, one is old
business. Old business.
All right.
And the Yankee was supposed to be Jane.
Okay, so the one,
so
yeah, so she asked.
Yes,
sure. Okay, so...
I have a question.
This, if you want me to read it,
Yankee.
The
Vermont Yankee, the one that says resolution to resolve a matter of Yankee and Houtman versus Pacifica without litigation.
Sure. How do the other Pacifica stations feel about this? They do the work of doing a lawsuit. Have you know, Houston and Berkeley and D.C., how do they feel? Are they supporting us? No, obviously not. They aren't. So they're okay with the VAI situation being the way it is. Yes. VAI is not, and we are not. Well, except for Michael Novick, who does support. I'm just curious to see where it's 3-2, basically, as far as stations. I'm just asking.
Yes.
I'm not criticizing.
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Yankee motion?
Okay, the Yankee motion. Shall I read it?
Okay.
Whereas the Pacifica National Board was unaware of California Corporations Code Section 5220, which makes it illegal to extend the terms of directors beyond the term that they were elected, and whereas some members of the Pacifica National Board were unaware that the Article 17 of the bylaws, Section B3I, which disallows extending delegate or director terms without a vote of the membership, takes precedence over the bylaw which calls for staggering Pacifica elections, which has no requirement of a membership vote to change the bylaw, and whereas the PNB passed a resolution on May 7, 2015, which extended the terms of certain delegates and directors whose terms ended in December 2015 in order to stagger elections, whereas a lawsuit has been filed entitled Lamont Yankee and Chandra Houtman versus Pacifica Foundation et al., case number RG-1681-0245, filed in the Alameda County Superior Court, which demands that said delegates and directors be removed because their terms have expired, and whereas the PNB now recognizes that extending the terms of delegates and directors violated both Pacifica's bylaws and the Corporation Code, and whereas the PNB was unaware that neither the station WMXP nor UHURU radio station had current written agreements with Pacifica at the time that Theo Wangaza and Javon Gammon were elected, as required by the Pacifica bylaws, Article 5, Section 4A, and therefore they were and are unqualified to act as affiliate directors, just as a person who is not a member of Pacifica on the date of record in any election cannot vote or be elected. Whereas the cost of defending the above entitled lawsuit will not benefit Pacifica, inasmuch as the allegations therein relating to the fact that the terms of delegates and directors elected in 2012 expired in 2015, and therefore those delegates and directors' terms are over, despite the resolution passed on May 7, 2015, and we now recognize that the affiliate directors are unqualified to serve as affiliate directors due to their stations not having current written agreements with Pacifica. Therefore, be it resolved that all delegates and directors who were elected in 2012 or whose predecessor was elected in 2012 are hereby removed from their seats as directors and delegates. Two, that the affiliate directors, Ifeo Angaza and Javon Gammon, representing WMXP and the Euro Radio, respectively, are hereby removed from their positions as affiliate directors.
Chairman, that's 7.5 minutes on Grace's segment.
Okay.
7.5 minutes.
But she's reading
comments. I know.
Three, that new elections of affiliate directors be commenced in compliance with the Pacifica bylaws. Four, that a quorum of the PNB and each LSB shall be reduced by the number of directors and delegates so removed
be quiet.
Until they are replaced by the next highest ranking candidates. And five, if there are additional seats to be filled on the various LSBs, that the LSBs will fill those seats by selecting additional LSB members as the Pacifica bylaws dictate. Six, the Pacifica National Board instructs the interim executive director to resolve the matter of Lamont Yankee and Chandra Houtman versus Pacifica Foundation et al., case number RG-1681-0245, filed in the Alameda County Superior Court by indicating to the court and to the lawyers for Yankee and Houtman that the directors and delegates have been removed as indicated above. Okay, basically, that completes this motion that Jan asked me to put forward for her. This is essentially the content
of the lawsuit that has been filed in California, up in the Bay Area, by Jan Goodman as the lawyer representing Lamont Yankee, who used to be an LSV member here, and Chandra Houtman, who used to be an LSV member at KPFA, as well as a director on the national board from KPFA. So basically, she's asking us for us to support this motion, which is basically asking that there be compliance of the national board, and that these changes be made so that we can be in compliance with California Corporations Code and our own bylaws.
All right, and avoid court costs.
Yeah.
Avoid
any court. Discussion?
I've long been of the opinion that the situation that the board has drifted into, and I am going to say drifted into, was not some sort of conspiratorial design by any one or any group of people, but that it was a collection of lack of attention to the bylaws and lack of attention to basically people carrying out their responsibilities, which, you know, it's difficult if you're serving on a nonprofit where you are, you know, expected to show up on a given day and be coherent and knowledgeable on everything that's gone on before, and as well as the bylaws of the committee and the corporation. I mean, it's understandable that these things could happen, and that elections could happen where a quorum is not reached, and therefore people didn't proceed appropriately. So I would support this motion, and I think it's a way of resolving these issues, recognizing that this does not have to be a factional dispute. This is just something that we need to clean up. And if we go according to the bylaws and people of the who are removed according to the bylaws are replaced by the next, you know, appropriate person in terms of the previous election votes was, then I think everything that's called for can be resolved without litigation. I move to support it.
Thank you, Charles. Ken, I think you're next
on the screen. Yeah, I moved to support it, too, because I was on the national board, and a lot of the people on the board who passed the resolution to maintain themselves in office had been there for, like, 4 or 5 years and were very familiar with the bylaws, and because of failed elections were very familiar with the protocol required and had to go over those bylaws so that they can't plead ignorance. But I just want to point out, as occurred here at KPFK, anybody whose term ended could run again as long as they had been here less than 6 years. And we had people run again here, and I think 4 or 5 of them were elected. And that could have occurred at any station. There was no need to deny the electorate at those stations the opportunity to vote according to the bylaws. Anybody whose term, you know, their term was up, 2015, they could have said, okay, well, I'm running in the next election. That's what we do in the U.S. So, you know, this is kind of stuff that you see in a banana republic where the president says, well, you know, I think I'm going to extend my term. And it's a violation of the bylaws. You're not allowed to do that. Put the corporation code, put the bylaws, and you have to get the membership to agree to it.
The United States supports that all the time.
So that's the story. So I support the motion, too. And I have some hopes that it'll get approved.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Madam Chair, would you please enforce Bella, the rules of decorum?
Michael Novick. Thank you for your comment, Myla.
I want to reiterate the point I tried to make earlier. The origin of this problem was in 2013 when the election was originally scheduled, and the previous board majority in the summaries voted to cancel that election indefinitely, basically. And I was on the PNB election committee at that time. We made repeated efforts to try to get the national board to reschedule the election later in the same year, or to start it in 2013 and complete it in 2014, and were rejected repeatedly. And so you know, the breach didn't start with these votes you were referring to here. They want to reverse, and the problem will be solved in the way that's projected, because there's been, as Jan said, repeated violations of the bylaws in this regard. You know, I think it's unfortunate that I was not on the board when they came up with this plan for holding the 2013 elections in 2015 and the 2015 elections in 2016.
That's right.
But all the elections that were held on a different basis that are now being proposed to revise the results. People would have had the opportunity, as they did here, to nominate themselves as was said, and that wasn't done. So I don't think you can, you know, put the genie back in the bottle by a motion like this.
That's right.
Thank you. Well said. Great. You're going to set.
Okay. I think that the Pacifica Foundation and all the radio stations have been declining for 10 years under the stewardship of both factions. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and I am... was opposed to not holding an election in 2013, although it was not on any board. But two wrongs don't make a right. And right now, there are people seated on the national board who should not be seated because they illegally extended their own terms. And they should be made aware, and I have made them aware, that they can be held personally liable and financially liable. Now, Pacifica may have to pay their court costs because they are innocent until proven guilty. But if they are found to be guilty, Pacifica has the right and duty to bill back to them personally those court expenses and legal expenses. And I want this to be known. I have sent the National Board legal opinions in this regard. They are putting themselves in personal danger because they are taking illegal actions. And there is no excuse. What was done in 2013, illegal actions, if they were in 2013,
10 seconds.
Do not justify current illegal activity.
Thank you. Fernando?
Yes, Fielda, I need to raise the question here that some of the local state board members supporting this motion at this point, at the time 2013 when those actions were taken, they were quite supportive of the actions back then because it was convenient for their political
right.
agenda then. Now they want to have some PMB members removed and replaced with others that may well be convenient to their current agenda, and that seems to be like a little bit hypocritical on their part. And I have one yes, and for the sake of transparency, that people need to be consistent with their rules of engagement here, not just follow a position and propose a position and a motion when it is convenient to their current agenda.
Did we vote then?
I'd like to respond to that. I was not on the Pacifica board at that time, so I am not guilty of that. The only other person who might have voted for that was Ken, and he was not. There is nobody in this room who voted to not hold an election in 2013. So I'd like you to please apologize because
no.
that accusation is incorrect.
Thank you. Apology.
All right.
Any other discussion?
I called a question.
I do not see any need to provide an apology because we all understand that some of these was, even though some of these members are supporting this motion today, may not have been members, official members of the local station board or the national board, but we all know who was working with some of these and who was sponsoring some of these actions, and trust me, there is no need for an apology.
Can I ask a question? Since I'm a new board member, I don't know what the decision-making process was with Sumner Reese, who was a former director, but I'd like to be filled in a little bit on why one person, the GM at that time, is kind of being, you know, singled out, and board members that are not in this room are also being discussed as to what decisions they made. So maybe Razor, you can give me a little more information.
Can you do that after the meeting?
Yeah, it's not the motion.
We're running
out of time.
Okay,
we're in the motion. All right. Okay. So, motion has been made.
Can we get
a second?
We're not
going to
read it again.
No. Just motion has been made.
I second the motion.
Yeah, motion's been made and seconded.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded.
To call.
Call and made and seconded. Yeah. All those in favor?
All right.
Let me count. Okay, I think we're good.
In favor?
No.
One.
You might get recorded.
Okay.
Roll call.
My name is
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12
in favor.
You got Dorothy? You got Dorothy? 13?
Let me count again.
There we go. Go together.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Put your hands up high, guys.
1, 2, 3, 4 opposed.
Abstained? Abstentions? All right, motion carries.
Motion carries. Sir,
go ahead. Thank you. Pause.
Okay, so next order of business, I believe, is CMB report by Michael Milovan. You're up.
Yes. Some of the things were related to earlier. I'm a member of the Finance Committee, and I'm on a task force of the Elections Committee, although not long on the Elections Committee itself. The Elections Committee task force met telephonically. I think it was just myself and Bill Crozier. We identified a long series of problems that have repeated themselves through numerous election cycles and made some recommendations to try to correct those, ranging from, having much better membership lists for both listener and staff members in advance of the election process so that we can have everybody get their ballots promptly, making sure that there's bilingual material, that stations could have coverage in more than one language, and a number of other items. On the question of the WBAI delegation, the National Board did vote to seat the only person validly able to do so, who was Ian Roberts. There were three other people from the held over WBAI delegation, one of whom had turned out completely, and two others who ended their terms and did not seek re-election. Serene is the only one continuing on the board who had been previously elected as a director. The problem with the BAI delegation is that there has not been a quorum meeting of the WBAI local station board. The and again, I point out that the two lawsuits are contradictory. The genesis of the problem with WBAI is that one of the extended term people, Janet Coleman, turned out at her 6-year term limit. And so the extended term of a year that people have been referring to then had to go to somebody. That happened in December when the WBAI election had not yet been completed. There was no quorum, in fact, for the WBAI election at that point, and the National Election Supervisor had extended the election here at BAI and at, I believe, KPFT to try to reach quorum. And so the person to fill the vacancy that occurred at that point was not somebody in the current election process, but from the same election in which Janet Coleman had been elected. Subsequently, the election process was completed. One faction of the WBAI board wanted to put somebody else in to that vacancy and held a meeting with that person representing the quorum, but there was no quorum because that person was not properly seated.